Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It is now 8:06 here at WCCO. Welcome back. I'm excited to talk about telehealth. I know you've heard about it. Many of us have talked about it. Well, Dr. Josh Umber is joining us tonight. He wrote an article in February of 2022. And in this article, there was so much that I circled and underlined because I've been wanting to talk to someone about telehealth. And he is joining us tonight. He is the founder of Atlas MD. Welcome, Dr. Josh Umber. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Good evening. I understand that the title of this article is telehealth here to stay? Yes, but only if we stick the landing. And I can't wait to hear you talk about that. But tell me why your interest has been in telehealth.
Well, I think as doctors, we often limit ourselves to a model that is what insurance will reimburse, and not necessarily what is best for the patient. And it's interesting how we've applied technology through the years. At one point, everything we did was by home visit, and we did it by walking to the patient. And so then riding the horse or a road or a car, you know, was essentially a better version of making healthcare easier. And then even the telephone came out, and that drastically increased doctors' abilities to reach out to patients, but it was met with resistance from the profession. So we have this kind of long love-hate relationship with technology, but ultimately, if it's helping us improve patient care, it's something we should look at adopting.
Let's talk about if it helps us or not, because how do you define that? How do you know when it is a success and it is not?
It's a good question, because it, like any tool, it could be used incorrectly. But we wouldn't limit ourselves to the zip code for Amazon shopping or Netflix or YouTube. Why would we necessarily limit ourselves to the zip code of where our doctor is? And I think the pandemic really put that stress test on the system to make us reevaluate what was working and what wasn't. And so especially when you couldn't even, leave your house to go to the doctor, we had to adapt. And so we're finding that if patients can get care faster, easier, cheaper, well, they're more likely to reach out sooner. They're more likely to get the care they need. So if calling, texting, emailing, video chat helps patients access care sooner and easier, I think that is the evidence we need to show that it's helping.
You wrote that one of the best lessons we can learn is the value of telehealth. Here's my challenge. My challenge is I feel better when I'm in the company of a doctor that can tell me it's like we are sentient people. So we need to feel and look into their eyes and trust them, you know, hearing their voice, knowing that they care. It's an experience, whereas telehealth is not the experience I wanted initially. So I'm just curious to know if you ever had patients say to you, I'm so happy I got to come in and see you, doctor.
I do. And I appreciate as a family doctor, it's everything we want to hear from our patients, that they appreciate the healing experience. And I think that's where telemedicine can be done better or worse. So as a tool, telemedicine with a doctor you may never see again probably has less value. But telemedicine as an addition to a doctor that you have a consistent relationship with is definitely a much different experience. So when you can, you know, email a picture of a rash and get a quick response in the middle of the workday and don't have to take pay time off or schedule or catch a bus or disrupt your life, that's great. But when you need more time to sit down and work through, you know, depression or anxiety, sometimes in person is better. Sometimes, especially for my patients with anxiety, they'll be anxious about the appointment. And they'll wake up at 2 a.m. and really want to pour their heart out, and they can do that uninterrupted by email. But it's with a doctor that they know they can go into, or we've already built that trusting relationship so that they know on the other side of that email is somebody that they've connected with before and really does care about them.
There used to be a time when we learned how to connect with a doctor that we really liked, and we kept hoping, wishing that we would have that same doctor every time, whether it was a cold or where the heart was starting to speed up, or no matter what it was, we felt, at least I know I did, felt more comfortable being in the presence of a doctor. And I'm just wondering, what are you hearing from others, specifically seniors, that you say, hey, telehealth is really great, telemedicine is really great, start looking at this? Is it hard to convince them of that?
No, because at least, again, when done well, they know it's an addition to. If we have a snow day, it's wonderful that we can let our patients know, don't come out in the snow, don't risk a car accident or slip and fall and an injury. Let us call you. Let us come to you. I mean, on some level, again, telemedicine is home visits. That's using technology, whether that's Zoom or a car, to provide care in new ways. And they appreciate the fact that, great, I don't have to go through the snow to get the appointment that I made 3 weeks ago, because I can make another one just as easy for when weather's nice. Or I can talk to the doctor and not forgo the care, but also not have to fight the weather. So it really is meant to improve that relationship. Some of those older patients are traveling, or they may not have a car, or they may just not have as much access. So if they can call and talk, then it still, you know, gets a lot of care done while streamlining kind of the rest of that process.
Will you define well done for me?
I think the patient defines that. You know, sometimes, again, if it's depression, anxiety, often a physical exam is less necessary. And sometimes a physical appointment can be more threatening to a patient with anxiety. And again, the pandemic stress tested the whole system and made us rethink this. So a patient may be worried that if they come into the office, they're going to get an infection, and so they won't treat their depression. They won't treat their anxiety. But also they have a hard time pouring their thoughts out to a doctor face-to-face and might be more comfortable in a scenario where they're in their home, but able to talk to the doctor. So we try to find the silver lining for all of that.
You wrote before 2020, the use of telehealth had been low, mostly because Byzantine state and federal laws prohibited health care providers from delivering virtual care to most patients. Where are we at today?
We've come a long ways. And really kind of overnight, March 2020, the government, with the, you know, kind of 2 weeks to flatten the curve idea, stay home, don't go to work, don't leave your house, almost had to change. The old HIPAA rules that were vague and kind of outdated for, you know, law written 20 plus years ago, the swipe of a pen changed it from those rules to what they call the good faith principle, and then essentially made any technology that doctors were using in the advancement of patient care approved with that asterisk of, we will be watching, but we won't be judging as much as long as your intentions are good. And that allowed us to go overnight to use calling, texting, emailing, Apple FaceTime, Facebook Messenger, kind of whatever the patient was comfortable with. And I think a forgotten message in a lot of this is patient technology literacy. Not all patients are able to sign into a complicated portal. Secure is good, but so secure that we don't end up using it, it's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So an older patient, the first patient who ever got me on Skype was an older woman whose grandchildren got her all set up so that she could communicate with them. So it was just as easy as adding another button to talk to the doctor. But it meant not having to arrange for transport and all these other things. So we do have to appreciate making that care easy. It does make it faster. It makes it cheaper. It makes it less threatening. So it also opens up the time for when a patient does need an hour in the office, something practically unheard of. But if we can handle the pink eye, the minor COVID, the contagious stuff, keep that at home and away from the office, it does actually help us improve time and concentration on the patients who do need our focus face-to-face.
Let me share a little story from my experience. I'll never forget, I went into the doctor. I wasn't feeling well, and I kept thinking I must have bronchitis. It felt like bronchitis, which I had had once before. And once I went to the doctor, they listened to my chest. They, you know, took my temperature and my pulse and that sort of thing, my oxygen, and said, you're fine. You have bronchitis. We're going to give you this medicine. I said, well, I'd like to have a oh my goodness, I can't think of the word. X-ray, yes, a chest X-ray, mm-hmm. So that I would know for myself. I could see it on the X-ray. And they kept saying, you don't need an X-ray. You don't need, I said, but I'm demanding one. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'll just stay here and wait until you can do it. And they did. They finally did it and said to me, you had a small heart attack a few years ago. And I've never told anyone that before other than family. And here's what really shocked me. They said to me, oh my gosh, we're so happy we did the X-ray. They didn't say, we're so grateful that you asked for one. You know, sure. They just said, we're so happy that we did that. So knowing that technology is ever changing, the things that we would normally require in our own health when we're seeing about ourselves can sometimes get lost in new technology, which is ever changing. It can change every day, every hour, every week. And that is difficult for such a large community of patients throughout this country. So I'm just wondering, how often do you guys see a big change in what's happening with telemedicine?
Well, COVID was the biggest recent change for at least a lot of insurance-based doctors. But I think your problem speaks to a bigger problem of not just telemedicine, but how we pay for healthcare. A chest X-ray is $50. It's not really something you need to insure when, you know, a tank of gas is $30, $40, $50. But then when insurance is paying for stuff, he who pays the piper picks the tune. So we have this convoluted system of buying healthcare where now the patient's really not in charge. And that's unfortunate because it does lead to all these other systems processes where we say, no, you can't have that because it's not in your insurance, or we don't know if we'll be paid for it, or how will we code for that. And on some level, that's doctor's fault for participating in a broken system. Some way that's insurance's fault. Because if you order a chest X-ray and it comes back normal, they'll say, well, you should have known it was normal, so we're not going to pay you for it. Because we sure don't want to be encouraging you to get X-rays on normal people. So then the doctors are in this, you know, uncomfortable position of, do I make the patient happy and risk losing money? Do I, you know, order the test and risk giving them a big bill if it does come back normal? Because it's more expensive under an insurance model when it doesn't need to be. So it speaks to a larger problem that we also try to fix through different ways, price transparency and direct care, because we do need patients being able to work as a team with their providers, because everybody's definition of good care is a little different. Some people don't want x-rays. Some people do want meds and don't want meds. Healthcare is hard to rubber stamp that out for everyone. It's very individualistic.
It really is. And I know that, you know, how the care was delivered really matters to you. And so as you watch and see this, I'm not even sure how the doctors are being paid, but they are. I mean, I've never written out a check on the telehealth conference call. And that was just twice. I've only done it twice. And I have to tell you, even though I was able to see my doctor, he had a lot of questions to ask for me. And hearing me breathe and that sort of thing is how he came to his conclusion. And I just have to say to you, I'm just not sure if it's enough. Are you hearing from patients that it's enough?
Well, I think it depends on what you're using it for. Through COVID, reflexively, a lot of doctors, since they couldn't even get staff or open their practices or have patients come to them, they had to do the best they could over the telemedicine options, Zoom or phone. But again, not ideal. The ideal scenario would be where you get the best of both worlds. We don't have to pick between Target in-store shopping and Amazon shopping. We get to have both of them. We don't have to choose between shopping for our groceries ourselves or ordering online. We can choose to see what works best for us at the time. And so telemedicine dictated top down, saying this is the only way you can use it, sure, that is definitely flawed. But telemedicine where it's a team approach and you can call, text, email your doctor for initial care, for follow-up care, your patients are going to have questions. You say, okay, I know we kind of talked for 15 minutes, but now 3 days later, my symptoms have changed. Is that a whole new visit? Can I email and get a follow-up question? Or I know you told me I should do this, but yeah, I read online something that, you know, that could complement that. So, you know, rarely is a good visit limited to the short amount of time we have in front of patients. And it's not right for everything. You're right. I can't listen to your lungs over the phone. But it can help keep people who have mild symptoms at home so that I can have more at-risk patients come to the office. So it really is, it's you know, a mix.
So then telehealth is here to stay, but within a specific parentheses around it, what you can do with that. And also, I wanted to ask you before you go, the nurses. It's really important. When I see my doctor's nurse, I feel comforted. I've been to her several times. I've gotten used to her. She knows the questions to ask me. I know the answers that I need to come there with. How does telehealth affect that relationship between nurse and doctor?
I think in an ideal model, it doesn't. The nurses can use all the same benefits of technology that the doctors can. Being able to email the nurse for the clinic that you trust is also very helpful. You know, maybe it's a conversation about how we're going to do blood draws or wound care or refills or just, hey, we've known each other a long time. I have a question. And I don't want to bother the doctor. The doctor's busy. And so that they're hand in glove, these any technology that's helping the doctor care for patients is also going to help the nurses, you know, participate in that role and add value.
It's a remarkable understanding that we all need to get, and knowing that telehealth has been around for a very long time. I think a lot of us don't realize when the first medicine was even formed, when someone actually went to your home or found a way to do that. But I was reading it in your article, and it's the Lancet article from 1879. Do you want to share anything else about that?
I think it's just such a great point that throughout time we have this love-hate-love-fear relationship with change and technology. And to go back that far and have people questioning whether or not telephones help us. I mean, we're communicating across radio and cellular and smartphones, and that's a technology that helps us reach more people. I don't think we'd ever go back to the Pony Express, but in 1898, when the time it was published, a lot of people were afraid of what does a phone visit mean. But it was an addition to, because at least phones with more access, and not everyone had a car, phone service was cheaper than a car. So they could still get some answers easier, cheaper, faster. And for a lot of what we do, that's still important. Not everything needs to be a visit, but then when we handle stuff online, then it makes the in-person visits last longer, be more focused, et cetera. So funny to think what we accept now is wonderful, phones. Didn't immediately get that warm reception, no pun intended.
Well, just for me, my understanding with my technology, the iPhone and all of that, is that it breaks down too. And oftentimes if there's a storm or something like that, it can be interference. And so, yes, there are problems all around, whether it's on your phone, on your computer, or if you're in person. So I do understand that, Doctor, and I will keep reading and try to catch up on this as much as I can. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Dr. Ombre. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us, definitely.
All right. That is Dr. Josh Ombre, founder of Atlas MD. If you want to hear more about it, do check out his article that was written in February 2022. It's called "Is Telehealth Here to Stay?" Yes, but only if we stick the landing. We'll be back. It is now 8:32 here at WCCO. Welcome back. Now, we were just talking about medicine and how this works, this telemedicine or telehealth, however you want to say it, you know, virtual. There's a virtual with health partners and many others. But I have to tell you, this whole idea of going virtual and only going online to get everything done, I know it sounds like we should be comfortable with that, and many of you probably are. But we also know that there are some glitches in that. Right? There are always glitches when it comes to technology, even though the technology has truly made a difference in our lives. I'm the girl that still purchased a map of the state of where each of my nieces and nephews live. If there's someone in New York, then I'm going to send them a map of the city that they're in and a map of New York. If it's someone in Atlanta, I'm going to send them the same thing, whether it's in the city of Atlanta or in the state of Georgia. Give them both those maps, because the challenge is, if all of those satellites that deal with our phones and that sort of thing are up there, and something happens that knocks them out, will you be able to get from here to there? Would you be able to sit back and go, oh, I know where I can go. I know I take this street and this street. We have had navigation now for a while, and we're used to it, aren't we? It seems so easy to use. Jonathan, do you use your navigation?
I have, yes.
Right. I have too. But I also think down the road, down the line, okay, what else do I need to have just in case that doesn't work for me? And those are some of the things we're going to talk about next. Of course, weather is coming up as well. Jonathan, do we take a break right here?
Yep.
Yes, we do. We'll be back very soon.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. all you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. Of course, in the next hour, 9 o'clock, is all about Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. And we hope you'll stick and stay and join us for that talk. We've got some great guests, and Rohan Preston is coming back tonight. Also, in the 10 o'clock hour, my son, Michael Battle, and I, we do a show called The Mom and Michael Hour, and it is my favorite hour at 10 o'clock. So don't go away. Don't go to sleep if you don't have to. And we'd love to have you join us tonight. So here's the thing. We were just talking about technology a minute ago, and I know that we really believe in it around the world. It's really quite remarkable how much technology we have. And I know for a fact that so many of our children and our parents are not prepared. The parents are not as prepared with technology. It's difficult, hard to understand, even hard to use at times. Young people want more and more of it, right? They just love the technology, how easy it makes their life, even though they may not remember when they were, you know, 10 years old and how things were. But today, when they're 24 and 25, it's a whole nother world. But there's an article that said, a day without technology, and what would that look like? And this was written on March 18th, 2021 by Jessalyn Madden. And here it goes. Imagine this. You wake up one day in a world without technology. All the computers on the planet just disappeared. First of all, you wake up late because your smartphone alarm no longer exists. Once the initial shock of the situation wore off, you start getting ready for work. Unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to turn on the lights, shower, or brush your teeth. Why? Because power, gas, and water are public utilities run by massive computer systems. Then you would get dressed and go outside to your car. Unless the car was manufactured over 3 decades ago, it wouldn't start. Most everything in a car today is operated by a controller. Area network, basically an onboard computer. So public transportation would be a no-go for the same reason. Even if your car did start, traffic would be a nightmare with all the traffic lights out. You'd finally decide to walk to work. Your day without technology is not off to a good start. So what is life without modern technology like? It says in the article, after several hours of walking, you would get to work where you'd encounter a similar situation. The technologies that get you through everyday life would be missing. You'd ponder conducting business by postal mail, right? Providing that it's still functioning, but it would likely take too long to get your correspondence where it needed to go. How about this? Lunch would be whatever hasn't spoiled yet. It looks like the whole workday is a wash, and getting home is going to be just as hard. Making dinner will be like camping. Now, I know this sounds like doomsday. I'm not trying to sound like that at all. What I do want us to think about, though, no matter if you're 25, 55, or 85, is that we depend on our technology, all of the newfangled things, to really just keep getting us through our lives, which is great. We have some great technology around the world. There's great technology. At the same time, if that technology is taken away, even for a day or a week or a month or a year, the bottom line is, are we prepared to be able to deal with that. I'll never forget my sister. The lights went out in her home. And her husband and the children were like, what are we supposed to do now? And I'm sure many of you have done this before. The lights go out, you light the candles, and you play great games. You know, this is kind of who we are in Minnesota. And I find that so funny when they were asking, Mom, what are we going to do? There's no television. There's no video games. There's nothing. You pull out your card, your stack of cards, and you play some games. And you pull out Scrabble that you can just sit on at the table and play, or all the games that you love, the board games. You know, make sure you have those in your home. What really concerns me is that I don't know if our children will be able to understand how to get out of it, how to find their lives again without technology. Now, one thing I do know about my mom, she is so smart and knows so much about how to survive because she was born in those years when times were really tough. And when she will say to us, you know, oh my goodness, Mom, you know, the gardens, or we've got drought. Remember last year in Minnesota, we had bad drought, man. And, you know, some people worry about that or cry. I remember when it was 2000, what was it called, Jonathan? Y2K? Was it Y2K?
I think it was. Y2K.
You remember
that
right?
That brings me back to college.
Oh, man, I'll never forget that, because I was the one. I was the one that bought my parents these kerosene heaters that you could easily hook up in some way, and they would work really well heating the home and that sort of thing. And my mom kept saying, don't buy those things, Geraldine. We don't need those things. And I would say, but Mom, if we don't have this and we don't have that, we got to have something. We need like a generator. We need this. And she says, honey, we don't need that. We don't need that. And why? Because my mom and my stepdad in their lives had ventured forward in times like that. They got out and they knew how to have a garden and to go outside and pick some vegetables, get an iron pot and put it in a real fireplace with some real wood, and you get to bake yourself something, or you get to make yourself some eggs and bacon, and you survive. They knew how to clean water before we had all of these newfangled things on how to, you know, make water cleaner. So I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I think about this a lot, and maybe I think about it too much, but I'm always trying to find little things that I can do and give to my children and my nieces and nephews that could make a difference if all of a sudden technology went down for an hour, for a day, for a week, or for a year.
I have a simple answer to that.
Go.
Nope. I am doomed. I am I'm technologically dependent, and the smartphone, the computers, the iPods and all this stuff, and no. When you get to the doors and you have to open the doors at the mall and they open up automatically, you don't have to pull the handle on the pull door open. Nope. That just wave your hand in front, magically it just parts for you to go in, or you the magical rotating doors that once you step into the little circle or the cube or the cylinder
carousel, yeah,
the carousel it starts moving. You don't even have to push no more. Nope. I'm done.
Right.
I am.
And if too many people are on it, it'll just stop. You're locked in there.
That's fine. Well,
you remember that scene from The Godfather when they shoot one of the guys? You know, when the Godfather says, I want all of them dead, and they get stuck in this, like you said, you push it and it keeps going around until you're released. But no, they stopped it and they shot someone, you know, those were the days when you could actually, or at least the thought of it as those days when you could think, oh yeah, you just walk through the carousel, it'll spin and let you in. But today everything is electronic. Everything's electronic.
Yep.
You don't hold on to anything. You just keep walking, and at your pace, it turns and you get out where you think you should.
That's right.
What if it stops? Has it ever stopped for you?
It hasn't, thank goodness. That's when the boots get to kicking and the claws get to scratching and we make our own way out.
Well, I really do agree with this article when they say, frankly, daily life without modern technology would be miserable for so many Americans.
I agree. I'm one of them.
Just miserable.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, then why aren't we in tandem, teaching our children how to survive. And there are people who are doing that. You hear about people who have built bunkers filled with, you know, ammunition and guns and food and water and so much more, right?
AKA the preppers.
Yeah, exactly.
Doomsday preppers.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
real to them.
I think there's value, and I think there are a lot of people that they move away from cities and bigger locations so that they can move out to areas where they have more access to not just rural life, but off-the-grid life, you know, camping and making sure that they can fish on their own, hunt on their own. I don't think that'll ever go away. I think there are families that will continue to do that no matter where they live.
Mm-hmm.
But don't expect me to be one of them.
Well, I tell you, there was a question that was asked in this this article that I found. What can you do in one day without technology? And it says in 2013, Code.org, a nonprofit organization dedicated to expanding access to computer science in schools, they published a video called What Most Schools Don't Teach. And the video went viral. In it, technology executives Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, NBA player Chris Bosh, and musician Will.i.am encourage young people to learn how to code. And I remember about 5 years ago hearing about these schools where sixth graders were really learning to code, especially girls. They were very, very interested in this. And so I just wonder, are we still hearing young people learning how to code?
Oh,
a lot
yes.
of people, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And that's a good thing. Whatever we need to do to make this happen, but I'm not quite sure. Let me read this last part. The video equated learning to code with becoming a musician or an athlete. And at the same time, it downplayed the difficulty of learning code, portraying it as simple math. It emphasized the cool factor of tech firms' offices by not just describing them, but also showing them off. It also pointed out the current ubiquity of computers, as well as their importance to modern survival. Oh, man, we're in trouble. We're going to take a break and we'll be back to wrap this up. It is now 8:56 here at WCCO. We only have about a minute, but I want to share with you the six benefits of unplugging from technology. Number one, reduces stress and anxiety. Unplugging from technology is like a reboot for your brain. Opportunity to focus on appreciation and gratitude. Provides more time for simple pleasures. Reduces feelings of loneliness. Connect with the natural world and allows you to be present. Well said. Look, you guys, I'm not against technology by any means. I just want to make sure that if it goes away, I'll be prepared and I'll be able to keep going, keep moving up. That's our hour. We'll be back in a moment with the next hour, Center Stage.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
It is now 8:56 here at WCCO. We only have about a minute, but I want to share with you the six benefits of unplugging from technology. Number one, reduces stress and anxiety. Unplugging from technology is like a reboot for your brain. Opportunity to focus on appreciation and gratitude. Provides more time for simple pleasures. Reduces feelings of loneliness. Connect with the natural world and allows you to be present. Well said. Look, you guys, I'm not against technology by any means. I just want to make sure that if it goes away, I'll be prepared and I'll be able to keep going, keep moving up. That's our hour. We'll be back in a moment with the next hour, Center Stage.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.